Blog Talk Radio.
I decided to take a stand, not knowing I'd lose my best friend. All God's children to stand, yeah. Tell somebody, say,
you stand,
yeah, Lord, yeah. Stand for holiness,
for holiness, oh. And for righteousness,
and be counted,
among them that shall reign with him.
Stand, not believing, at least some of my friends. And I would rather, live right, burn in hell, lift up my eyes. All of my children to stand, stand, everybody say it,
you stand.
Oh, stand for holiness.
Stand for holiness.
With all my heart, with all my soul, truly I love the Lord.
Amen. And also to my awesome, wonderful, supportive husband, Elder David Ambrose Shaw. God bless you. Amen. I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for your support and your leadership and your alignment with Jesus Christ. Amen. And praying also for all those that's been listening faithfully, Minister Andrew out there that's been supporting and holding things up on Friday evening. My new lady friend, God sister, minister, I just love this sister. That's VJ. A lot of people say, well, how do we say her name? This is V. She's out there in Compton. Amen. Compton, California. Amen. Thank you so much, my sister, for your support, loving mom, and just being there, just always letting us know that you're right there with us. We appreciate you. And even those that are out there in Canada, we have people listening from Canada, Jamaica, all around the world. We see you out there. A lot of times people don't call in, but they just click on the link, and we're able to see people that's either whether you call in. We even can see people when they click on a link. Amen. Blog Talk allows us to be able to keep up with who our followers are. And sometimes people don't listen to us live, but later on they just will click on the link in the archives. We have all of our messages that are recorded, so if you want to continue following us and just look at some of the programs that we've had throughout the week and months and years, you're welcome to do that through David and Diane Ministries and Friends. Okay, well, I'm excited about tonight. Amen. I believe I have a word from the Lord. I'm going to be talking about personal spiritual growth. Amen. And my scripture text is going to be coming out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Amen. So let's say a brief prayer and get right to it. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you and we give you all the glory. Lord, we take this time to sup in your word, to sit down at the table and to receive your word through your anointed. Through your anointing as you bring forth this word through power, instruction, wisdom, edification. I pray, Father, for every ear that's hearing, every heart that's receiving. And I pray, Lord, as I decrease and you increase, use this vessel of clay for your glory and for your honor. Father, we need you on tonight. Father, we need you like never before. We need you, Lord God, for someone that's sick in their body. I pray for healing, Father, healing in the name of Jesus. I pray for anyone that's discouraged, Lord God. Father, we're going through some times in our lives that there are people that just feel like giving up. I pray that you continue to use your word, not only here, but throughout the earth, throughout the world, oh God, to continue to flush this world, this earth, with your anointed word. God, use your word as a light, Lord God, to bring forth light in the midst of darkness. Now, oh God, as we go forth further in our program and our time of inspiration, we ask, oh God, that you be with us throughout this duration as we continue to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. As I said, I'm Lady D, Prophetess Lady D, Diane Shaw, and I have a word from the Lord. I'm going to be, my scripture text is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I wasn't going to read it, but the Lord said, just, it's so much in this one chapter. I'm going to read the whole chapter because this is my scripture. This is my starting scripture, but everything I'm going to be talking about for this brief 45 minutes is going to be about this particular chapter. It's about sanctification and love and growing up spiritually in Christ. Our personal, notice I said personal, this is a personal spiritual growth. And reason why I titled it personal, because my growth is not your growth, and your growth is not my growth. We are all individually trying to grow up in Christ. And be honest, it doesn't matter on when you met Christ. You may have met Christ last night, or you may have met Christ, he may have came in your life 5 years ago, 10, 15, 20, 30. Why do I say that it doesn't matter? Because you will find out in my teaching on tonight, there may be someone that's been walking with Christ for 30 years, But they're still on the bottle. I've been slowly talking to more, a little bit about this growing up and so forth, because I believe the Lord trying to get a message to us, talking about growing up. So it doesn't matter how many years you've been, you know, I say I've been saved 30 years, but that's not how we measure our growth. We don't measure our growth based on, I've been saved, I got baptized in Jesus' name 30 years ago. Okay. But my spiritual growth is my personal spiritual growth, how I have grown in those 30 years. Am I still doing the same thing this day as I was doing 30 years ago? Because it does come a point in time, saints of God, that we got to grow up. And we can't keep doing the same thing over and over and over. We got to get to the point that we got victory in this thing. And that's the personal growth. That's the spiritual growth. That's the Christ-like that I believe God is trying to get us ready before we go home, before we get up out of here. Amen. So I'm going to be reading, and I normally read the King James Version, but tonight I'm going to read the New American Standard Bible because I want to make it very simple, very plain, and very clear. Okay? So if you have your Bible, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'm going to start reading. Amen. Let us read. Verse 1, it says, finally, then, brothers and sisters, we request and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive instruction from us as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel even more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no one violate the right and take advantage of his brother or sister in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we also told you previously and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in sanctification. Therefore, the one who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Verse 9, now as to the love of the brothers and sisters, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you practice it toward all the brothers and sisters who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers and sisters, to excel even more and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your hands just as we instructed you, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not in any need. Amen. And it goes on and it says, starting with verse 13, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as indeed the rest of mankind do, who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, so also God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. Verse 15, for we say this to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we will be, who are alive, who remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. You know, that one chapter is just a reminder to us. Continue on the journey. And to remind people not to get weary in well-doing because the Lord is soon to come. Even as we're doing all that we're doing, we're growing in Christ, we're reading our Bible, we're working out our faith, we're getting this thing together, we're figuring these things out. It's like it's almost like a baby being born. The baby's in a mom's womb, waiting for that one last push. That one last push before he can come out or she can come out and say, I'm here, or just waiting for just the anticipation of seeing his mommy eyes for the first time with his daddy. That's what it's like. As we continue to grow and grow in Christ, we are growing in Christ, getting ready for that preparation to meet our Lord, because all that we're doing right now is in preparation. It's not in vain. Our personal spiritual growth is preparation for that special time that we waited, we talked about. I don't know about you, but I just know my years, and I don't know what. I have a son that's, Anton is, I started to lose count, 38, and Marvell's 34, 35, and I had my boys in church for a length of time, I believe. Marvell is about 4, and Anton, I only say this because, yeah, I can tell you, I've been walking this thing. I've been with Christ a while. But my measure of my growth doesn't come with how many years. It comes with my obedience, my deliverance, and have I took off some of those dead clothes, those grave clothes? You know, we all come into this thing with some baggage. So my spiritual growth, your spiritual growth is pretty much based on how much baggage are we still carrying when the deliverer said, let it go, let it go. You can't cross over into the Jordan like the children of Israel leaving Egypt. Think about this. 40 years. They walked and walked, and it was really a close journey. It wasn't that far. It wasn't that long of a walk. But somehow they was walking and walking and walking and walking in circles and circles and circles and in circles, and it didn't really necessarily have to take them that long, but they was walking in circles because they were still carrying baggages. They were still worshiping the idols. They were still developing. They were doing things that God told them not to do. So it took them a longer time to get from Egypt to the promised land. And some of us, it really doesn't take us that long. And really why it's taking us so long is because partially this has to do with our spiritual growth, is because we're not willing to let some things go that God said, let it go. It's like God said, wait a minute, I'm God. Don't put your spiritual growth on God, because God is a right now God. He can snap his finger and make it happen. But he wants some participation from you and me. What's my participation? Lay down the weight. Let all, everything that's heavy, everything that's weighing you down, that's keeping you from crossing over to get to the next level, the next season in your life, let it go. you and I will be just like the children of Israel, walking around in circles, wondering why I still ain't got what I've been promised from God. And that's very possibly because you're still carrying baggage. Okay, so I read that as the comfort you, because it's to say that we have a destination, y'all. We have a destination, and we're on our way home. And I have more that I'm going to share in my lesson, but I was thinking about something today. And I, you know, sometimes I went and I just kind of clicked on some of my friends' Facebook pages. Because you can go to somebody's Facebook page, and not that we all, that don't necessarily say who we are, but every now and then you can kind of like, you know, we got all these friends. Who is this person? Because then most of them, you ain't met in person. You don't know nothing but what they put on their pages. Every now and then you can get a glimpse of, well, what's going on in their life? What's happening? And I got to clicking and clicking on some of them, and it just showed me. It reminded me of the day of Moses. Noah days, when he was saying it was going to rain, and when he was like saying, "Hey, listen, it's going to rain," and they didn't want to hear that preacher. We don't want you to don't. We don't want to hear no preaching right now. We living our life. We eating. We drinking. We have a good time. And I look on Facebook and I see that. We got TikTok, we got all these social medias, and everybody's just living their life. Everybody's meet, drink, eat, happy, just going on with their life. And a large amount of these people are not understanding that Jesus is on his way back, y'all. But we get so caught up into the cares of this world. We get so caught up into just things that are not productive, that's not even fruitful, that has nothing to do with my growth, because I want you to understand something. God is interested in your spiritual growth. God didn't save you and me just to twiddle our thumb and just sing kumbaya and just go along, just to be going along. He's interested in your growth. Why? Because your growth shows the power of God in your life. It's hard for God to get glory in the believer's life that's still toting around things that they've been battling with for years. Come on, somebody. God gets the victory where he can showcase you to your family, to your neighbors, to your friends, and they, because they know you. They know the old you. They know you. They know you. So you are in display before the world of the old man, putting off the death clothes of your old man and putting on the new man. So God wants to see you grow up. God wants to see us grow so he can, it's all about God growing his kingdom. And he needs some people that will grow up and begin to change their life and not be someone that's up and down and in and out. Because God's like saying, "But wait a minute, I done gave you the power. You got a loaded shotgun, which is the Holy Spirit in your life. Come on, take authority over that thing or whatever it is, and come on, let's do some things, because we got some souls to win. Your life and my life is a mirror of the power of God, how God can take a wretched man like me and you, you who was a drug addict, dope fiend, laid out, slapped, dirty, homeless, reject of the earth, slime, mud, you were all that, but then came Christ. You was a prodigal child. You let everybody down in your life, and people said you wasn't going to amount to nothing, and God want to showcase you, but the way God showcased us is through our spiritual growth. But if you think folks ain't watching you, I'm here to tell you they are. They watching you and watching your life. more than what they're hearing, more than what we're posting on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, on TikTok. No, they're watching for the fruits because they know you. They remember you. But God said, keep watching because I'm not done yet. But for me and you, we have a part to play in it. Amen. We have a part to play. Christians, that what God started in us will finish. What God started in you, he will finish. It will be perfected and matured until the Lord returns. We're under construction. Under construction, like somebody's building a building. They lay the foundation, and then they begin to build the walls. And then they begin to build each layer of that house until eventually you look at that house and it's complete and it's beautiful. That's what we are. We are work on the construction. But we have to mature. We have to grow up. We have to grow up. Jesus is on his way. But how does a disciple of Jesus Christ grow in his or her Christian life? How do you grow? What does it take to mature in Christ? What does it take to mature in your faith? That's what I want to talk about. What is God doing in the process? What is God doing while I am growing? What is our role? What's my role? What's your role? And what does a well-balanced Christian life look like? What does that look like? How can I make the decisions that God wants me to make? I want to please God. How do I make those right decisions? These are some of the questions that we're going to be dealing with in this lesson on today and perhaps part two. The purpose of this lesson that God has given to me for you, the purpose of this lesson is to encourage us along the path of spiritual maturity. I'm not here to beat you down. I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to ask you to look in the mirror. We're going to look in the mirror. And when you look in the mirror, and if you see some white milk rolling down your chin, that means you're still on baby milk formula. You're on baby formula. I hear you out there giggly. I know, it's funny. Or are you tearing into some ribs, some good old ribs? You got those, you're really biting into some meat. There are several aspects of personal spiritual growth that needs to be understood as we go through the process of growing in an intimate relationship with God. I'm talking about an intimate relationship with my husband, but I'm talking about an intimate relationship with God and others. And here it is, number one, the cost of discipleship. That's number one. Number two, the larger picture of what God is doing and being filled with the Spirit. Number three, the role of trials and rewards in spiritual growth. There are roles to our trials. Number four, basic Christian discipline in our relationship with God and people. Number five, the importance of good works in growth. And number six, biblical decision making. And my final is having an eternal perspective. So first I'm going to talk to you. So my series is going to be dealing with all seven of these. But tonight we're going to talk about very briefly the cost of discipleship. There's a cost of discipleship. We can start with the definition of a disciple. The definition of a disciple. A disciple is a learner. Say that with me. A disciple is a learner. A disciple of Jesus is one who learns and lives from the teaching of Jesus himself and those whom Jesus directly taught, which is the apostles. A disciple continues in word. love others, bear fruit, and put Christ first. I'm going to say it again. A disciple continues in the word. That means it's all about the word. Our life is a reflection of the word of God. B-I-B-L-E, basic instruction before leaving earth. And also a disciple loves others. You cannot be a disciple of Christ and not love people. You can't do it. Also a disciple, we bear fruit. Your tree has to have fruits on it. Jesus talked about in the New Testament how he came to a tree, and that tree did not have any fruit. And he looked at that tree, and he cursed the tree. So if you're not bearing fruit, you're living in the midst of a cursed life. You have got to bring forth fruit as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And as a disciple, we put on Christ first. They don't need to be seeing Diane all the time. When people see me, and this, listen, this is a spiritual growth. Now, listen, we have not arrived, because if we arrive, that means we're going to be dead. That means God is still working on us. Now, come on, let's keep it real. We learn to put Christ first. First. We learn and understand that it's all about him. What would Christ do? My life is not my own. It's not my own no more. Diane's dead. Dead natural, dead to my desire, dead. She got to stay dead. She got to stay buried. And as long as she's buried, yet I'm alive. See, she's buried, so I'm still living. So if Diane's buried, who's alive? That means Christ got to be alive. I got to daily die. I got to daily crucify this flesh. I got to daily say, shut up, nope, no. I got to daily say no to my flesh. I got to daily say no to my desires, which are contradictory to the word of God. See, as long as we're in this body as a disciple, as long as we're in this desire, the cravings and some of the things are still going to be there. Oh, yeah, let's keep it real. Okay, we ain't super, super saints. Come on now, you know you're not. But we can still bury that thing. It will rise its head up. It will continue to have the appetite for those things that will come between you and God. It will still be there. But then the spiritual growth, the spiritual growth that I'm talking about, that God wants us to have, is to be able to put that thing to rest. And when we do that, what happens, brothers and sisters, we begin to enter into a place of maturity and say, oh, God, look at that. She got it now. She got it. So those things won't even come up. They'll get to the point that they're there, but it's so silent because you've gotten a victory. So God said, okay, next, there will be other things that will begin to come up in your life that God wants you to deal with, but he can't give you more if you're still carrying, if you're still on the milk. God has so much for you, so much for me. And the only thing that hindering me from getting all those things that God wants to give to me is my spiritual growth. I play a part in this. You play a part in your spiritual growth. Because you, one thing God has given every one of us is a choice. You have a choice to play with the sin, play with the things that's trying to take you from God. You got a choice to play with, or you got a choice to kill it, die, shut up. What'd I say? You are not in control. It might take, if it gets to the point it's so bad, you might have to take a fast to kill the flesh. The flesh is like a swamp thing. You know, swamps, in the swamp, it like a swamp. It will come back to life. It wants to be in charge. And you have to remind, I'm still talking about disciples. You have to remind the flesh that you don't live here anymore. You got to tell it. You don't live here anymore. You're dead. Remind it. Because it will continue to show its ugly head. Because its mission is to destroy you, to kill you, to separate you, for you not to get everything that God has for you. The call to spiritual growth is the call to be a disciple of Jesus. It's a call to be more like Jesus. We have to be more like Jesus. It's a call to submit ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus. For he is Lord, with a capital L. When we call him Lord, we're saying, Lord, you are the head of my life. You are the head of my finances. You are the head of my body. You are the head of the things I eat. You are Lord. There's a cost to the discipleship. Then Jesus said to the disciple, this is what he said. It was in Matthew 16, verse 24. Jesus said to the disciple, if anyone wants to become my followers, listen to me. If anyone wants to be my follower, he must deny himself. There it is, brothers and sisters. If you want to be a true disciple of Christ, you must deny yourself and take up your cross, he said, and follow me. And this leads us to the importance of understanding what God has done and is doing in our life. You got to pick up your cross. Part of your spiritual growth, personal spiritual growth, is to deny yourself. And a lot of people, this is where they fall off at. True followers start falling off because, you may not got to give up. I know it's going to be like this. Come on. It was good. Come on. Really? I got to, what? Yeah. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. What is God doing? What exactly is God doing with the disciples' life? What is God doing? Because you're not doing this by yourself. Well, when considering this, one must understand God's purpose and his goal. You know God has a purpose in your life when you're going through your trials and tribulations. God has a purpose and a goal that he is moving all Christians toward. And he's moving you toward being more like Christ. When God's telling you to give this up, give that up, giving that up, because he knows that you can't be like Christ as long as you're still carrying that baggage. As long as you're still dealing with those issues in your life, you can't be like Christ. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. Don't let the devil make you think that you can be like Christ and still carry all that baggage. You're not there, but God's trying to get you there. Paul explains God's plan. This is what he said. It was Romans 8:29. This is what he said. Watch this. Those whom he foreknew, you mean he foreknew, he knew you. He also predestined. He knew you in the past. But he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. God knew you back then. God knew you for your mom and daddy. God knew you before they even made that first kiss. God knew you. God knew what you don't hear me. God knew what you was going to be going through. God knew about the crack, the drinking, the drugs, the whoring, the thieving. God knew, but yet he still called you. Bam. He still called you. God wanted you when you was a reject to the society, reject from your family, but God said, I want you. But then, as this Paul just said, Romans 8:29, he foreknew you, that means he knew you prior, and he predestined, that means he has a future plan from you, and he has it to predestine to conform. His plan is to conform you to the image of his son. Romans 8:29. God, listen to me. God is chipping away at the stuff in your life. And some of us have a lot of stuff. Some of us have, we got some stuff. But some of us are carrying a lot of stuff in our life that's not like Christ. And God's chipping away at it to bring us more closer to him by using, he wants you to be more, that's why they say more Christ-like, to bring you more to Christ-like, to bring forth an image that is. God has a plan for you to bring forth the image of his son. He is molding you into a perfect piece of pottery, so to speak. You know, when the potter, he's the potter and we are the clay. And when pottery, there's all these little cracks and these little chips in order to get that thing smooth, and he gotta smooth that, and it's some rough pieces that gotta be chipped away before that cup or that bowl can be a perfect piece for divine purpose. God is promising every believer in Jesus Christ that he will get him or her to this goal. Oh, I love that. Oh, I can quit right there. I can quit, shut the book, and say hallelujah. Because what I just said right there through the power of the Holy Ghost was that God is going to get us to his goal. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good for them who love the Lord and to them who call according to his purpose. Oh, God going to get you there. Some of us might come kicking, kicking, complaining. And some of us gonna keep some of us might have to keep repeating third grade over and over and over. God said, this is it. But he got a plan. He's trying to get you to that place. So the theological, what they call that is sanctification. Sanctification means God is going to separate you from the world, from the things that hinders your growth. Sanctification, he don't only separate you from things. As he's separating you from that, he's bringing you closer to him. When God called the children, he said, I need a people. God was calling the people out of Egypt. He called the people out of Egypt not just to call them out. He said, I need a people that I can call my own, that I can separate from the world, and they can be my people, and I will be their God. That's what we're doing in spiritual growth. We're growing up. God is sanctifying us, separating us from this world, separating us from the things that's hindering our growth. And sometimes when God chips away and molds his grooves, we feel the impact. Oh, I felt that. You wonder why you're going through what you're going through. He's chipping away. God is using at least three means to propel believers in this direction. And this is how he do it. This is how he do it. Watch. Number one, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. God uses the Holy Spirit to get your attention. Number two, one we don't like, God uses trials. Oh, there goes that word. God uses the trials and tribulation to get your attention. And God uses the rewards. Who don't love a reward? Hallelujah. He uses the Holy Spirit. It's an empowerment. God uses the Holy Spirit. He uses trials, and he reuses rewards. And there is a purpose for the Holy Spirit. And what is that? One way that God is conforming believers in the image of Christ is through the work and empowerment of the filling of the Holy Spirit. When we were saved, we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I want to pause there because if you don't have the Holy Spirit, and I'm not just talking about something that's flying around, you know, on the day of Pentecost, when they were all in the upper room, there was a dove. And he said that there was like a cloven thumb, dove of fire. I'm not talking about the feel good with the fire all around you. I'm talking about the infiltrating of the Holy Spirit indwelling inside of you. The Holy Spirit in which time, we talk about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This occurs one time. One time, as a believer, you don't have to get, you get filled one time. When Jesus told them to go into the upper room, he knew that they need to go up there, so he had to leave. Jesus had to leave so his spirit can return back. And when it returned back, they can get the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So once you get filled, listen to me, one time that happens, it doesn't go away. Now, you can drown it out with your sins of where it gets so hollow. You know, you can have so much darkness in your life that you can't even hear God. You're not hearing God. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is still there. The indwelling of the Spirit gives us the inner spiritual resources to overcome sin. When you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, it gives you the power to overcome sin. That's why you got to ask yourself, when you appear in and out and playing around with sin, what a, I don't even going to say that word because I may have my fault in something and it wasn't cussing, but I was going to say, where the heck is the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit gives you the inner spiritual strength to overcome sin, because the Holy Spirit is more powerful than anything. The Holy Spirit in you, that's what we got to feed. How do we make our Holy Spirit strong? Well, by God, you got to read the Word. You got to spend time with God, prayer, fasting. You can't, it says, whatever you feed the most is what's going to be alive in you. If you feed in your flesh, those fleshly things, of course, it's more powerful, more stronger. Or are you feeding the spiritual man, the things of the Spirit? Okay? So then, when you have the Spirit inside of you, it's going to give you power to overcome the sin. And it gives us the desires and the ability to resist temptation and overcome it. When your spirit man is strong, I'm talking about spiritual growth here. When your spirit man has been entwined, that's why we got to watch what comes across our eyes. Because the eyes are the eyeways to the soul. You know, the Bible talks about the eyes, the eyes, the eyes. Be careful. And right now, you can't get away from it because they got naked women showing up on their panties and bras on commercials. Oh, I feel sorry for the baby kids that's growing up right now. You know what I'm saying? It didn't used to be like that. But right now, you got nakedness all over. So we know what naked does to the flesh, especially to a man. It does something to him. That's why you have to, the Holy Spirit, you got to make sure the Holy Spirit is fighting off all those demons. Okay? Keep your spirit strong, like, because the Holy Spirit, oh, there's one, look away. You know, you got to, like I was, me and my husband, he's been working on, is you have to make a covenant with your eyes daily, 2-3 times throughout the day. Listen, this is a real battle. You can't go into this thing half-hazard. Like, we're dealing with a real devil, and he's on a mission to take you out. So we got to be on the offense, not on the defense. You ain't got to wait for something to happen for you to think, okay, I'm going to build myself up. No, you build yourself up daily, daily. We're talking about spiritual growth. God gives us the desires and ability to resist the devil. Submit to God. We like to talk about resist the temptation. You can't resist nothing if you ain't submitting to God. I'm talking about spiritual growth. You've got to first submit to God. Lock hands in with God in the Spirit. Lock in. Become one. become Christ-like, and it becomes easier and easier and easier to resist that temptation. And not only resist it, but to overcome it. So as we submit to God's command, following the leading of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us into all truth. That's where Jesus left the Spirit of God. Jesus left the Spirit, so now we have a comforter that's going to lead and guide us. We're not trying to do this on our own power. You have no power outside of the Spirit of God. You cannot do this without the Spirit of God. Impossible. That's why we have to be filled with the Spirit, according to Ephesians chapter 5:18. You have to be filled with this Spirit. This is a continuous process. Why? That's why we pray in the Spirit. Everything is done in the Spirit, continuous process in which what? We allow the Spirit to direct and control our action. It's got to control us. On the other hand, when we sin, we stifle the blessings of the Spirit's activities in our life. What am I saying? I'll keep it very simple and plain. When you're in sin, you have now terminated the blessings that God was doing in your life and the activities and whatever God was preparing. And that's why we become in a place of halt. We're no longer in alignment with God. And we begin to quench the Spirit, because the Spirit of God is joy. The Spirit of God trying to do something, but the Spirit can't do nothing. That's why Paul says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Ghost. Do not grieve the Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed by the day of redemption. We have been sealed because God has a divine plan in our life. Amen? God has a divine plan. Get us to a final destination. Now, there's so much to be said about this. I'm talking about spiritual growth. I am going to open up my mic. Amen. I am going to open up the mics at this time, praise God, and give room for comments, because God is good. God is good. And I believe that there's someone out there perhaps just want to give a couple words on their spiritual growth. So what is God saying to you in this hour as you grow? We're all growing. We're all. The fact, you know what, every day, a new day, we just grew another day. We're in a day that we never seen before. We're living in days where, hey, this is a new day, a new hour. Amen. So at this time, I'm going to open up the mic, and I will give opportunity, amen, for anyone who would like to speak. Amen. Okay, praise God. I'm opening up the mic, 217-52. Amen. You're live. God bless you.
Amen. Praise God. How you doing? Praise God. That was awesome. That message was so
amen.
Powerful.
Bless you, husband.
So powerful and anointing. Praise God. I want to first and foremost want to give all honor to God, praise God, who is the head of my life. And then I want to honor
Amen.
You, my wife, my queen, my bride. And I also want to acknowledge that God is good all the time. And
yes.
All the time, as we say, God is good. And
Amen.
I know one thing, that God has brought me a mighty long way, and it's through the story
Amen.
And the testimony that I have endured. In the name
mm-hmm.
of Jesus, that allowed me to make it to where I am today, praise God. Because I
yes.
had to let go, and it wasn't that I let go and let God, you know, the drugs, the alcohol, the righteous living, the wandering
mm-hmm.
eyes, the whoremonging behavior, just all that negativity
yes.
that was keeping me out of alignment with God.
Amen.
I found within myself it was time to turn back, just like as they do when you see fire, fire, fire. What do they say? Stop, drop, and roll. And I had to stop and recognize that there was a problem in my life. And it's through that problem that I had in my life, praise
yes.
God, of sinning, of committing a sin and living that lifestyle, that I had to make a change. So then when I
yes.
stopped, I started to drop. And then I committed myself back onto the Lord, committed
mm-hmm.
him to my sins, that I could ask for forgiveness, and rededicated my life to him. And then no longer was I about the things that I used to do, but now I'm about the things that God has for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I began to roll. You say you stop, you drop, and then you roll. That means getting into activity and into the movement of what God has for me to do now. Because in the alignment, I can stay in the right way, in the right order. And then when I stay in alignment, my whole family is blessed.
Yes.
So that's very important in the situation that I have to realize on today, that in order for me to be blessed, I have to ensure to stay myself in alignment so my wife can be blessed and everyone in my household can be blessed. And my responsibility on today is not anymore about me, but about the Christ that's in me. And in order for me to be in alignment and to have relationship with God, I have to be righteous in his word and doing right to my queen, and that's my wife. So I thank you for that opportunity of me sharing that, because God is real and he's in my life. And right now I've been away from bringing the word for a minute because God has been dealing with me and bringing me in that alignment. But in season, God is going to bring me up to the level where he will have me. But my wife, you're doing an exceptional job. God bless you.
Amen.
I love you with the love of God. Stay encouraged. Good word.
Thank you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, that was Elder David Ambrose Shaw, my husband, my beloved. Amen. He's been coming forth every Monday. I don't care. Even if he is out there cutting the grass, whatever he's doing, he has truly been faithful. And that is a site of personal growth, spiritual growth, because in spite of what we chose to do in the natural, God still expects us to be faithful in the spiritual. And amen. Again, Monday through Friday, you can hear him reading the word. Amen. 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And, of course, 4 p.m. there on the West Coast. And if you in Atlanta, Georgia, on the East Coast, it's 7 p.m. He reads it 1 hour, very theatrical, very, I mean, it's like you're right there in the Bible with him. He does it so powerful, anointing. And we're just so excited. We got some things coming up in the next month or so, I ain't going to say too much. Just know that we're getting ready to do something. God has taken us as a couple to the next level, and we're just saying yes, Lord, as he prepare us for our next spiritual journey and spiritual growth in him. Amen. For the empowerment. What we do is not just about us, but we do this for the growth of the ministry, obedience to God, but also about souls. We want souls to be saved. We want souls to be changed and to grow. Amen. And say, what must I do to be saved? Amen. Ultimately, that's what this all is all about. That's why we do what we do, because we love the Lord and we love the work of the ministry. Amen. Well, thank you so much. I say a prayer. I ask God, please, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we pray for all those that's been listening live and those that's been listening by way of the archives, maybe perhaps that are listening through Facebook, those that's clicked on the link. I pray for them wherever they are, Lord. We pray a hedge of protection over their lives and their family. Keep us all safe, oh God, as we all deal with this virus that has infiltrated this world, the coronavirus. Keep our family safe, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord God, that this message hits home, that we all can begin to start growing personally in this spiritual journey. We give you all praise and all glory in your matchless name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you again. Thank you for listening. Praise God.
I wish I had the time to tell you a story about a man called Shelly John. But I don't have that time tonight. But you gotta realize, if old John was here, after going through, he'd look back at that old mule and say, since I can't shout in your church, since I can't dance in your church, oh, my mule, I feel like shouting right now. I come to tell somebody I feel like praising, praising him. Well, well, help me out, y'all. Oh, I
feel like praising, praising him.
home and sing it like we used to a long time. I'm going to praise the Lord while I have a chance. You know, we didn't have a lot of music. Come, oh, oh, oh.
I'm going to praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.